In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Today, I ask your forbearance, although you really don't have much choice, as I wallow in some nostalgia. 40 years ago, yesterday, I was ordained into the sacred ministry of the Church of Christ as expressed in our wonderful Anglican Communion. 40 years ago yesterday, at 10:55 GMT, I stood with, I don't know what the collective name is, an order of ordinands, a sequester of seminarians, outside the majestic medieval west front of Exeter Cathedral, with a myriad of choristers, cathedral civic dignitaries, bishops. I waited until those massive, I mean really massive, west doors were flung open. And inside I saw this huge congregation underneath what is the longest uninterrupted vaulted ceiling in the whole of England. As the hymn, "Christ is made the sure foundation," was thunderously proclaimed by organ and brass and voices, so we processed into that impressive, maybe even intimidating building. I remember from then on nothing of that service, except the acute and keen awareness of God present in majesty, sublime, exalted, transcendent. After the service, I remember that my family, totally unchurched, with no Christian background at all, were very happy that my white stole carried my initials, A and N. I had to share with them afterwards it actually was Alpha and Omega. And of course, I remember that sweet strangeness of wearing for the first time in public, because I'm sure the clergy here will admit with me that we did try this on a few times in private before we appeared in public, but that strange sweetness of appearing for the first time in public with this plastic or neck collar. I once visited a Philadelphia hairstylist, Michelle, an Asian, had no Christian background. I took the collar off, and when she went to hand it back to me, she looked at it very strangely, and then she said, "Is this a fashion accessory?" And you may know that in England, maybe here as well, this is sometimes called a clerical dog collar or a clerical ring of confidence. 40 years ago. And fear not, I'm not going to go through each of those years with you. But I want to speak about Jeremiah. Now, it's unfortunate that in the scriptures, this passage he reads in chapter 20 is entitled Jeremiah's Complaint. He had the sort of reputation of being a somewhat depressing, doleful figure. Well, of course he was. He was involved in public ministry. Who wouldn't be? But he had many insights into the Lord's goodness. And those insights kept him going. So I share with you what I believe the prophet said to me yesterday as he reflects upon his vocation. He speaks of the seduction of vocation, the settling in our bones of vocation, and the strength of vocation. The seduction of vocation. Verse 7, "O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. Years ago, I remember trying to explain to a parishioner in a parish not too far from here that I was ordained not because I wanted to be ordained, but because at heart I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. That my journey to ordained ministry was not one of chasing the clergy dream or pursuing a lifelong clerical ambition to wear robes on hot, stuffy days. In fact, it was all the opposite. What I wanted to be, from as long as I can remember, was to work as a lawyer, a barrister, maybe even reach the dizzy heights of Queen's Counsel. And so with all my strength, I tried to ignore and derail vocation to ordained ministry. I did my very best, but as you can see, I failed. And the Lord prevailed. This past week, I had the joy of talking as a parish priest with a member of this parish who was wanting to discover afresh his vocation, what God wanted him to be, what God wanted him to do. And I promised him that if he offered to God just the slightest inclination of wanting to do God's will, that God would begin that process of seduction of vocation, and that in the end, God would prevail. The settling of vocation deep in our psyche. Verse 9, Jeremiah says, "There is something within me like a burning fire. It is shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." In 1985, I made a decision to abandon ordained and parish ministry. Again, you can see how well I succeeded in that. I knew not for how long nor what would take its place. The decision was made by me, not for me, for personal reasons. But what I did not realize then was that the vocation to parish ministry as an ordained minister had somehow settled so deep within my psyche, had taken root so solidly in my bones that it continued to burn to get out. And it took the wise insight of a kindly bishop to tell Wendy in my absence, he has got to get back to parish ministry. Friends, the Lord has for each of you a vocation. Maybe already you know what it is and you rejoice in it. And you will know that if at times you have tried to stuff it down, to quench it, there is, as it were, a burning fire within your bones that will not be quenched. The Lord has for you a vocation. And I know that once the Lord settles upon you and me, a vocation at different times of our lives to do different things, we will be uneasy and uncomfortable as long as we deny that vocation its fulfillment. Be assured. And then the strengths of vocation, verses 11 and 12. And here at last Jeremiah sees some light. Why? Because he stops focusing on him and looks to the Lord. "The Lord is with me like a dread warrior. My persecutors will stumble. They will not prevail. O Lord of hosts, to you I have committed my cause." I share with you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that there have been times when I have regretted my vocation. In fact, I'll whisper it at times when I have resented my vocation. Times when the grass has seemed greener over there, or the fields have seemed less constricted and confining over there. But at those times, it is always the Lord who has been my strength, and to him I give glory. At times of doubt and shallowness and confusion or frustration, I have remembered a scripture verse given to me by somebody at ordination, which I now share with you. John 15:16. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, the kind of fruit that abides forever." And when you and I recognize that we are called and chosen, that what we achieve has about it an eternal quality, then we experience a strength of vocation that cannot be denied or ignored. Yesterday, on my 40th anniversary, I officiated at a wedding. And weddings have now become one of the great joys of parish ministry and beyond parish ministry. I thanked the couple for generously choosing a day that I could celebrate with them their marriage as well as my ordination. And I then shared for a few moments with their permission that my love affair with vocation has not been constantly strewn with roses, nor passed in unadulterated happiness, but that what has seen me through 40 years of parish ministry has been the steadfastness of the Lord and the way he has expressed that to me through my darling wife, Wendy. I pray for myself and I pray for you, that each of us in a new and fresh way will be seduced by our vocation, that it will settle deep within our being, that we will allow that to happen, and that the strength of the Lord will be our joy and our stay. Amen.